Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Joe Rogan breaks the Matrix. What is ivermectin, and why aren't we allowed to talk about it? Has anything our leaders said or done in the last year and a half empowered you? Or does it feel as if they are on a disempowerment campaign to make you feel weak, afraid, scared, obedient, and willing to be controlled? We talk about that, and also we give you an Afghanistan update alongside a short Texas abortion update. And also we talk about Churchill, we talk about Machiavelli, we talk about Plato, we talk about Aristotle. All this on this episode where I am playing minorly hurt because of some wisdom teeth removal, and producer Andrew was kind enough to assist us alongside of this program. So thank you for understanding if I'm talking a little bit quieter and slower. Appreciate that. If you want to support our program, you can go to charliekirk.com/support. I want to thank Joel for your monthly support. Thank you. James for your generous support. Thank you. Eric for your monthly support. Thank you so much. Timothy, for your generous support from Anchorage, Alaska. I love Anchorage, Alaska. One of my favorite places in the entire world, and I've been a couple places. I love Anchorage, Alaska. I want to thank Russell from Litchfield Park, Arizona. Another great place, not far from where we do our show. Thank you so much. And Kristen from Columbus, Ohio, charliekirk.com/support. When you support us, you help our team, Connor and Andrew and Terrell and Matt and Ryan and Jake and Mikey, all of us, to continue to do what we do to try and reach more people, put up more content so that we can deliver the truth to all of you at charliekirk.com/support. That's charliekirk.com/support. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, where we play offense with a sense of urgency to win the American culture war, go to tpusa.com. TPUSA.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hey, everybody. This episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. I want to get to a story here that caught my attention over the weekend that almost no one's talking about right now. And then we're going to tie it to the new documents that have been released in connection with Fauci and the gain-of-function research that happened at the Wuhan Institute of Virology that The Intercept are reporting on. And the story, I think, is a glitch in the matrix. This story exposes the current medical industrial complex and their regime and what their true intentions are. Now, we've been talking about this for quite some time, and we have a new episode out today, right, Andrew? We just dropped that episode with Dr.
Yep,
Merritt?
The medical rebel. Yeah, Dr. Merritt.
With Lee Merritt. We just dropped that episode. I encourage you guys all to check it out on the Charlie Kirk Show podcast and hit subscribe. And she goes into great detail with a lot. Let's just say there's plenty of COVID thought crimes there. And the story that I want to get to, though, that I think exposes this regime is what happened with Joe Rogan. Now, many of you know who Joe Rogan is. Joe Rogan is the number one podcaster on the planet. He's so big that he was able to leave where most podcasts are actually distributed on Apple Podcasts, get a $100 million deal, go to Spotify, still maintain a massive platform, be able to gather attention and change the news at almost anything he says will get major attention and news. And so Joe Rogan came out and said that he got COVID. Now, I just want to say this. It seems that at least in my immediate circle that this round of COVID is much more vicious and it's taken people longer to recover from. The reason for that, people have a lot of different theories for. Dr. Merritt has a theory. Dr. Rose has a theory to that. I'm not going to venture into that because we're going to stay in our lane. But I will say this, at least in my own personal social circle, people that are getting the Chinese coronavirus this go around, they seem to be bedridden for 2 weeks. So Joe Rogan comes down with the Chinese coronavirus. Now, I want to just give some background. Joe Rogan is a free speech crusader. Joe Rogan has been willing to have conversations around ivermectin and the Chinese coronavirus that almost no other platform has been willing to have. So Joe Rogan, for years, has had the Weinstein brothers on his podcast. I listen to the Joe Rogan podcast. I agree with him on very little when it comes to social conservative policy. I obviously disagree with him on drug policy and other things, but I think he's really interesting. He's super entertaining and really fair. And he's hilarious. He just is. And he's one of the best interviewers I've ever seen as far as how he's able to ask questions and how he's able to get his guest to be interesting and insightful. And there's some Joe Rogan episodes that I think are just objectively beautiful. I mean, if you look at Joe Rogan interview Alex Jones, it's one of the funniest things a human being could possibly ever see. I can't wait for Media Matters to write that one up. But yes, it's very funny when Joe Rogan interviews people. He's interviewed the Weinstein brothers for a couple of years. Now, the Weinstein brothers are Eric and Brett Weinstein. And Eric Weinstein worked for Peter Thiel for a couple of years. And Brett Weinstein was kind of the center character at the Evergreen State University scandal when he, as a very liberal white man, was told he had to take a day off of teaching because he was a white person, because they said white people are not allowed on campus. He thought this was racist, and it turned into a huge controversy. Well, Brett Weinstein is an evolutionary biologist, and for those of you that follow this show very closely, we played his tape on the program back in July and August where he called a timeout and he said, listen, I think I've discovered something when it comes to these vaccines that no one else is talking about. It was around the spike protein. He did a 3.5-hour podcast with Dr. Robert Malone, and Joe Rogan talked about this. And then Brett Weinstein went on Tucker Carlson's show, Tucker Carlson Today, and Brett Weinstein started to talk about ivermectin. He started to talk about an antiviral treatment that won a Nobel Prize for humans, by the way. And all of a sudden, Joe Rogan started to talk about ivermectin. Now, this got some attention on Joe Rogan's podcast. But what has just broke the internet over the last couple of days is Joe Rogan himself got the virus. And he made this video. Play tape.
I got up in the morning, got tested, and turns out I got COVID. So we immediately threw the kitchen sink at it. All kinds of meds. Monoclonal antibodies, ivermectin, Z-Pak. And so here we are on Wednesday, and I feel great. I really only had one bad day. Sunday sucked, but Monday was better. Tuesday felt better than Monday, and today I feel good.
Now, this is a really important thing. Do you notice he mentions like 5 or 6 different things? Do you notice it wasn't just ivermectin, but he said we threw everything we possibly could at it, and I felt good. I feel good. I'm fine. I turned the corner. As soon as he posted that video, the medical regime in charge of our country lost their collective mind. He was trending on Twitter. People were wishing for his death, weren't they, Andrew?
Oh, yeah. It was pretty sick stuff. I mean, we talked about it on Friday. It was ghastly, I think would be a proper description. See a guy that's basically saying, hey, I had COVID and now I feel better because I treated it with medicine and I got there early, which, by the way, is from every indication, the key to beating COVID is to treat it early. And then for them to say, Joe Rogan has COVID, like it was doomsday. You could almost you could see them hoping. But actually, his video said, I had it, past tense.
Well,
he fixed it.
And what he was highlighting out of the whole list, which made them lose their mind, was ivermectin. When he mentioned ivermectin, the masters of the universe, they did a full court press. They flooded the zone. They said, you're not allowed to say that. You see, what Joe Rogan might have exposed through his free speech platform and getting COVID himself is a vulnerability in this current regime. You see, ivermectin takes power away from the masters. Here's a question I want to ask you as we head through this hour. Has anything that Fauci and Daszak, and we're going to get into Peter Daszak, and any of these people told you over the last year and a half empowered you? Has anything made you more self-reliant, more clear about what's happening and more likely to be able to navigate the nonsense? Or has almost at every turn it said, you got to come back for another booster shot. You got to come for an antiviral pill. You got to leave a mask on your face. What if ivermectin was an empowerment tool that they don't want you to know about? How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? A lot. Truth is, I know millions of people. In fact, some people say over 100 million people are struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise or just getting older. Now, Pete and Seth Talbot, they are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. They recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. Go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. People ask me, tell me why Relief Factor is so successful in lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. So maybe you want to be able to do cartwheels or be able to do backflips like producer Andrew. Maybe you want to be able to run a marathon, swim underwater, go scuba diving, jump out of an airplane, but maybe it's your knee pain, back pain, joint pain, whatever pain it might be. Maybe Relief Factor is for you. ReliefFactor.com, 100% drug-free. Check it out, ReliefFactor.com. The medical regime that is currently running your country and your children's lives and your life, they got very angry this last weekend because Joe Rogan said he defeated COVID in just a couple days thanks to the use of ivermectin. Now, this started a sequence of disinformation. Let's actually go to cut eight first because it established this whole idea of disinformation. A whole sequence of disinformation stories around ivermectin saying that it's a horse dewormer. Now, that's actually an off-label use. Ivermectin won a Nobel Prize for its use on humans. In fact, a 2019 CDC memo on ivermectin said that all refugees, in it, they should take two doses of ivermectin orally. In fact, it says right here on the CDC's website, which they don't want you to read, top of malaria guidance, that ivermectin could be very helpful for you. That's the CDC's own website. A study in the American Journal of Therapeutics published in June of 2021 said that the apparent safety and low cost suggests that ivermectin is likely to have a significant impact on the SARS-CoV-2 pandemic globally. And hydroxychloroquine is also an anti-malarial drug. And personally, every person that I've given hydroxychloroquine to or helped them get connected with, they've turned the corner. Now, that's not empirically scientific. It's enough to convince me. But Fauci made sure he had to go out. Fauci is a disinformation artist. Do you notice how Fauci never actually has a real symposium or takes legitimate questions? Play tape.
When it comes to a public health issue like COVID-19, in which it is essential to get correct information out, one of the enemies of public health is disinformation. And unfortunately, we do see that in some quarters.
Disinformation. You mean disinformation like this? Disinformation where all of a sudden a story was going viral. We retweeted and amplified by Rachel Maddow saying that Oklahoma's hospital emergency departments were backed up and they could not serve gunshot victims due to ivermectin overdoses. What? As soon as I saw that story, I said, this doesn't sound right. Well, Rachel Maddow spread this on social media. And this guy right here, here's the original news clip. It turned out to be absolutely fake. Nothing about this. This guy that's on TV hasn't even worked at the hospital in months. He made the entire story up. But the media got what they needed. They got a counter narrative to Joe Rogan disrupting the matrix. Because Joe Rogan is not owned by the corporate media. Joe Rogan does not have a CNN show. Joe Rogan does not have an NBC show. Joe Rogan's bigger than all of that. Joe Rogan has a loyal following of 5 to 10 million people every single week. And so as soon as Joe Rogan posts a video that says that ivermectin might have helped him, that all of a sudden might expose a weak spot in how the regime has been controlling you. Listen to this news clip. Everything you're about to hear is a lie that was allowed to be aired on television. Cut nine.
Dr. Jason McGellier saying patients are packing southeastern Oklahoma emergency rooms, taking ivermectin doses meant for a full-sized horse, believing false claims it could fight COVID-19.
The ERs are so backed up that gunshot victims were having hard times getting to facilities where they could get definitive care and be treated. All of their ambulances are stuck at the hospital waiting for a bed to open so that they can take the patient in.
Now, that's a total lie. Now, let's put aside this guy's a walk-in comorbidity. The second thing that we really need to talk about is that how is this allowed to go on television? And the Rolling Stone piece, you see, Rolling Stone came out. Where's my Rolling Stone piece? I have it here somewhere. Where they, because Rolling Stone was the one that amplified it. Now, Rolling Stone used to cover music, and that's basically the lane they should stay in. Rolling Stone had to issue an update after horse dewormer hit piece debunked. So someone at the medical industrial complex said, hey, let's go send the music people to go debunk the dewormer story. And so Rolling Stone had to issue an update, not a correction or a retraction, by appending the hospital statement at the top of the article. And it was Rolling Stone's John Blystein who did whatever he could to try to discredit it.
No matter how you're feeling about getting back out there, there's no denying it's an adjustment. When the world gets too loud, something I love to do is create my own soundtrack by popping in Raycon wireless earbuds. Sometimes you need upbeat music to pump you up before you see people or stay calm with some guided meditation. Let me tell you right now, Raycons are the best way to listen. Raycon have a 32-hour battery life, and they start at half the price of the other premium audio brands, but they sound just as good. At Raycon, they come with a 45-day happiness guarantee, so you really can't lose. Give them a try, and you'll see what I mean. Create your own soundtrack with Raycon right now. That's buyraycon.com/Kirk. That's buyraycon.com/Kirk. That's buyraycon.com/Kirk.
Journalist H.L. Mencken famously wrote, "The urge to save humanity is almost always a false front for the urge to rule." Under the disguise of wanting to save you, it's always an excuse to try to assume more political power. Well, what if there was a way to disempower the people like Fauci? And that way was exposed accidentally by a podcaster who can't be controlled by the corporate media. Joe Rogan taking ivermectin, amongst many other things, might have all of a sudden opened the Overton window and expanded the conversation in a way that makes the pharmaceutical companies, the FDA, the CDC, and Fauci himself very, very nervous. Now, I want to go to cut two here, and then I want Andrew to talk about his personal experience when he tried to get hydroxychloroquine. Now, we get thousands and thousands of emails from people at freedom@charliekirk.com of people that say, Charlie, I'm trying to get hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin, and the pharmacists won't actually write the scripts. And this is true. The pharmacists, many of them want to, but others are in on it. The medical industrial complex, they are all in on this game because if all of a sudden there was a cheap Nobel Prize winning solution for humans that disempowered the elites and the masters and empowered you, all of a sudden your child might not have to wear a mask. All of a sudden the economy could fully reopen. All of a sudden you might not have to get booster shots. I have so many examples of pharmacists that have told me privately, Charlie, I will lose my license. I will be reported to the board if I fill this prescription for hydroxychloroquine, if I fill this prescription for ivermectin. Now, let's just put all this aside. You know, millions of Americans use hydroxychloroquine for non-COVID-related reasons, like lupus and other sort of reasons. Anti-malarials and antivirals have been proven to have some sort of efficacy, allegedly, as we're on live stream right now with our wonderful friends who have nothing better to do but to shut us up. We're going to get to that in a second. Play cut two.
2 days ago, I was told that Walgreens was not filling my prescriptions. I just said, okay, maybe it's a fluke. And then yesterday, when both Publix and CVS also piled on and the pharmacist is telling my staff that the data's not there for the use of a drug that's safe. It's also available over the counter in other countries. I don't know what to say. This drug is not political. What is the reason? Someone please explain it to me. I'm not telling you not to go get a shot. I am trying to prescribe something as a physician, getting patients, because that is my sole purpose, to heal people. And they're calling and they are sick.
Right. And so, Andrew, I want you to comment on this in a second, but let me just add something to that, which is we have destroyed all medical ethics as we know it in our country. Doctors are turning people away because they don't get the vaccine. The VA is turning people away because they don't get the vaccine. I have a story on that in just a second. Andrew, you tried to get hydroxychloroquine when you had COVID, and it wasn't easy.
No, not at all, actually. I had to go to multiple pharmacies in order to find one that would do it. And as a matter of fact, you know, my local pharmacy, the one that I go to just sort of all the time, is CVS. They turned me down. They called me and explained that, you know, I probably didn't have a trip overseas coming up given the pandemic, and that I wasn't supposed to be taking something like that. And so they called me and they said, hey, we're not going to give you the prescription that your doctor has called in for you. And so I had to go to a local pharmacy. They actually turned me down. Granted, I do live in the People's Republic of California, so maybe that's not too surprising for people. Then ultimately, surprise, surprise, my doctor called and had an argument with Walgreens, and Walgreens wrote me the script. So that's how I got HCQ. And it was surprising because the pharmacist basically admitted, hey, I'm not your doctor, and I'm not allowed to tell you how to, you know, what to take and do this, that, the other. They still wouldn't write it for us. So it is what it is, but it was hard. You can get it. If you're having trouble, go to Walgreens. I guess
someone just said, Charlie, pharmacists do not write the prescriptions. They fill the bottle. No, that's not true. Pharmacists can decide not to fill a script. And that's the point, right, Andrew? Is that a doctor can write the script, but pharmacists are saying, we're not doing this. I've experienced this personally.
Yeah, exactly. My doctor had to threaten them and basically say, you're not my patient's doctor. So stop, you know, prescribing or advising him on what he should or should not take.
You know what's so crazy is that these pharmacists, they wrote millions of scripts for oxycodone, and yet they will not fill the script for ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine. This is a real problem.
This is a Nobel Prize winning drug, by the way. And by the way, if you I just did this. If you type in ivermectin into your Google search, which we don't recommend on this show, I just always find it fascinating what Google's putting to the top. There's two articles talking about Alex Jones taking ivermectin live on air and quoting Joe Rogan.
Which is one of the funniest videos any person can possibly see, just from a pure entertainment.
I mean, it's worth watching.
No, it's hilarious.
Absolutely. But this is them trying to discredit ivermectin further by attaching it to somebody that they think is so tarnished in the public's eye as to make it less trustworthy.
If a doctor writes the script, that doctor will be put on a list, and that doctor will probably be reported as well. Now, what does NIH have to say about ivermectin? This is your own government, but they're suppressing this, aren't they, Connor? They don't want you to know about this. Your own government says a 5-day course of ivermectin for the treatment of COVID-19 may reduce the duration of illness. Well, that's weird, because the other department says that it's a horse dewormer. Stop using it. Cited by 35 different articles that ivermectin is cheap and effective. How about this one? NIH, ivermectin, a multifaceted drug of Nobel Prize honored distinction with indicated efficacy against new global scourge, COVID-19. That's NIH. How many references does this one have? And by the way, it won a Nobel Prize in 2015 before Fauci started to control everyone. Oh, this one has 48 references. Let me reread the title again. Ivermectin, a multifaceted drug of Nobel Prize honored distinction with indicated efficacy against a new global scourge. What does Rolling Stone says? Rolling Stone issues update after horse dewormer because Rolling Stone said this. Crazy times. Joe Rogan got COVID and ate a cocktail of meds, including a horse dewormer. They would rather have you be scared and confused and obedient than clear and confident and free. I want to ask this question, which is, how is it that the more information that we have at our disposal, how is it that the more we're able to talk to one another through online, the more confused we get? Isn't it interesting that the more power we have, allegedly through technology, yet it seems that we become less free, not more free? You see, true, honest scientists should be excited and open-minded about new treatments to the Chinese coronavirus. Wouldn't scientists all of a sudden be like, you know, yeah, there are these peer-reviewed studies of 45-plus doctors. It might be the kryptonite to the Chinese coronavirus. But you see, science applied through moral means should make people more independent and free, not dependent and scared. You see, what's really happening right now is a philosophical debate. This is not about looking at things in test tubes. This is not about looking things through microscopes. This is a philosophical debate. You see, the other side, they want to use science, as they call it, as a way to dominate you. And the reason that people are still confused about this, and we get emails, Charlie, isn't it a horse dewormer? No, no, you could go read the NIH owns website. By the way, we're going to post these on charliekirk.com if you guys want to see them. Connor, make sure we get these links. These NIH links are incredible. They're publishing them. Their own government has published these. They don't want you to see them. They're confused because they want you to be confused. And one of the things that I think is so important to reemphasize is, has anything that the elites proposed made you more likely to be independent or strong? There's only two types of countries. One where people own the government, or two where governments own the people. Which are we? Well, I could tell you by design we're supposed to be one where we own the government or we own the institutions. Currently, we're one where the institutions are owning us. You can govern people by two ways, by speech or by force. Do you notice how little Fauci ever talks about ivermectin? He just says it's disinformation and moves on. Why won't he have an open press conference about this? Why won't he talk about NIH's own studies with 48 peer-reviewed doctors that talk about this? And now the medical tyrants are clamping down on governors who are using the antibody treatment. Is there a cover-up that's going on here? This makes Watergate look like child's play. This is an institutional cover-up, the likes of which we have not seen in the modern era. And it's happening in front of your very eyes. You see, when there is transparency and open lines of communication, people will then trust what they're being told. In fact, the opposite is happening. Instead, they send the propaganda smear artists to lie through all the social media channels that it's somehow a horse dewormer with some sort of buffoon that's a walking comorbidity himself, saying that people can't go to hospitals that are getting gunshot wounds, as if Southeast Oklahoma has a bunch of people being shot, as if it's like downtown Chicago, which that's how I knew it was a lie in the first place. Joe Rogan just pulled the thread that might undo this entire regime. Look, I've been telling you guys about ExpressVPN on my show for months. Why have people not gotten an ExpressVPN? Look, I use ExpressVPN all the time. You have our own government that is trying to spy on everyday Americans. And we know that. They spied on Tucker Carlson. So ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you this. There's never been a more important time to protect your digital rights. That's why I and thousands of my patriotic listeners chose to secure our online data by using ExpressVPN. Let me tell you about ExpressVPN. I've been using them before they approached our show to try to establish a partnership. And I am proud to be partnering with the VPN that I trust and I use on all my devices. Did you believe that a VPN isn't for you just because you can use the internet without one? Look, if you are listening to the show, that means that maybe our own government or maybe international governments are wanting to listen to your conversations. Remember what Snowden revealed, everybody? It's creepy. Do you think that VPNs are complex and only for tech experts? That's not true. They're not. With ExpressVPN, you launch the app and just tap one button to protect yourself. It's really that simple. You need to encrypt your data and reroute it through a secure server. Protect your family, everybody. This is serious stuff. I trust ExpressVPN to protect my online data because they're rated number one by CNET and Wired, and they stand for my values and your values. Now it's time for you to take a stand. So right now, take back your privacy at expressvpn.com/Charlie and get 3 extra months free on a 1-year package. That's expressvpn.com/Charlie to get 3 extra months free. Visit expressvpn.com/Charlie right now. So much happening. Dozens of Chinese military fighter jets fly into Taiwan's ADIZ. Hate to say I told you so, but we were on top of that story early, weren't we, Connor? We told you that Afghanistan, China, and Taiwan are all together. Our sources are unfortunately, I say they're unfortunately never wrong, because everything they tell me, unfortunately, is pretty tragic about how Joe Biden sold Taiwan away for Kabul. That is not what we're talking about this hour, but we will get to that. I do want to get to this alleged bombshell story, but there's so much I want to get to. And so, Andrew, why don't you take it away with this Peter Daszak story? I don't consider this to be a bombshell, to be perfectly honest with you, at all. I consider this to be just something that we have said at Turning Point USA and at this show here on the Charlie Kirk Show since April of last year. Literally, we have been saying this, and now we're supposed to be told that this is some sort of huge bombshell story, but at least we have proof of it. Andrew, what is the story?
Well, ironically enough, this is from The Intercept, which, you know, has fallen on hard times, basically, since Glenn Greenwald left. But nevertheless, The Intercept has reported, and therefore it's now acceptable to say in polite society, that it's now become clear that Fauci was lying. So one of the more memorable exchanges in Congress – well, yeah. But again, this is the liberal media saying it. So it, you know, that's the only – that's really the only thing of note here, is now the liberal media, just like – and I was telling you in the break, this is basically like the Wuhan lab – leak theory 2.0, where it was a conspiracy theory, and then somebody finally found something that they could defend in the Washington Post, and then it wasn't a conspiracy theory anymore. This is the same here. So if it's all right with time here, let's play cut five. This is that memorable exchange between Rand Paul and Dr. Fauci, where he vehemently denied funding gain of research or gain of function research in Wuhan.
Do you wish to retract your statement of May 11th, where you claimed that the NIH never funded gain-of-function research in Wuhan?
Senator Paul, I have never lied before the Congress, and I do not retract that statement. You do not know what you are talking about.
This is your definition that you guys wrote. It says that scientific research that increases the transmissibility among mammals is gain-of-function. They took animal viruses that only occur in animals, and they increased their transmissibility to humans. How you can say that is not gain of function?
It is not.
It's a dance, and you're dancing around this because you're trying to obscure responsibility for 4 million people dying around the world from a pandemic.
Let me read a quote from Machiavelli, who Fauci embodies Machiavelli's doctrine better than anyone I've ever seen. A prince or a leader never lacks a legitimate reason to break his promise. The promise given was a necessity of the past. The word broken is a necessity of the present. That is if you think power is the most important thing in all of society. So, Andrew, let me just understand this. We now have documents that show there was gain-of-function research, and Daszak and all these people were involved in that?
That's right. The Intercept reported that 900 new pages of previously undisclosed information from the NIH, which the Intercept obtained through FOIA lawsuit, indicated that, yes, in fact, the $3.1 million in grant money had been sent to EcoHealth Alliance, which is run by a guy named Peter Daszak, who I really want to dive into. But $3.1 million used in part to identify and alter bat coronaviruses likely to infect humans. And here's the kicker. The materials confirmed the grant supported the construction in Wuhan of novel chimeric SARS-related coronaviruses. By the way, chimeric is a word that not a lot of people are familiar with. It means related or denoting an organism containing a mixture of genetically different tissues. What this means is they made humanized mice, and humanized mice with basically human lungs in a mouse. And they found that the coronavirus genetic information from another coronavirus, and confirmed the resulting viruses could infect human cells. Gain-of-function research. It is no longer a conspiracy theory, Charlie.
It's not a conspiracy theory, but it makes sense, because science has become not about understanding the natural world, but instead the worship of science, absent morality, absent the understanding of justice, of truth, of beauty, and goodness means that this was inevitable. Look, it's back to school time, and you might be feeling the burden of college bills and private tuition expenses. With home equity at an all-time high and interest rates low, refinancing your house could be a great way to get some cash and pay those bills. So look, if you want to refinance your house or do anything with a bank, let's just say timeout. Right? We're going to call a timeout, two-minute warning, right? Hands on the shoulders. We're going to just kind of say, let's take a pause here. Are you using a bank that hates your values? It's a very simple question. Are you using a bank that is at war with your worldview? Well, if you have refinanced recently with a big bank, you have just given a check, a cashier's check, a wire transfer to Nicole Hannah-Jones, to Stacey Abrams, to Joe Biden, to Chuck Schumer, to Nancy Pelosi. You see, when you refinance with the big boys, the banks of the wokesters, you might as well give your hard-earned money to the revolutionaries that are burning down our streets. You might as well give it to Planned Parenthood. But if you want to support the good guys, two Christian men that I've got to know very well, they love the Lord, they love the Bible, they are great people. We just hung out in Dallas and we had the best time. We had a great meal together. They're terrific. Andrew Del Rey and Todd Avakian at andrewandtodd.com. They are with Sierra Pacific Mortgage, and I know them and trust them, and you should work with them too. Just go to andrewandtodd.com and take the 30-second survey to answer a couple questions. But look, maybe you're a calling person. You're like, Charlie, I take enough surveys. Fine. Test me. Call 888-888-1172 and say, I would like to talk to Andrew and Todd. Charlie Kirk sent me. That's 888-888-1172. andrewandtodd.com. andrewandtodd.com. No more Goldman Sachs. No more JP Morgan Chase. No more Wells Fargo. No more financing or refinancing with the banks that hate your values. Again, I hate to be this tribal about it. They hate you. Go to people that love you at andrewandtodd.com. They love the Lord. They love the country. Let's support them at andrewandtodd.com. In the time since my surgery, I had more time to study and read. So there's a lot I want to get to. But there's this one quote that struck me during my time of recovery, which was written by George Wilhelm Friedrich Hegel, which where we get the Hegelian dialectic from, German historicist. And this plays right into Peter Daszak, and it also talks about the Churchill-Fauci connections. There's a lot I want to get to, but I want you to think about this. This is what so many people, including what Peter Daszak believes, and then I'll let Andrew take it from here. The state is God walking on earth. We must worship the state. All the worth which a human being possesses, he possesses only through the state. The state recognizes no authority but its own, no abstract rules of good and bad. The state is the ultimate end which has the highest right against the individual, whose highest duty is to be a member of the state. A nation state is therefore the absolute power on earth. A single person, it hardly needs saying, is something subordinate. The important aspect lies in self-subordination to the universal cause. Hegel had a massive impact on American leftists, and still does. And Peter Daszak is one of the perfect examples of what happens when you give unlimited authority to be able to play around scientifically in the natural world without being anchored by morality, justice, or truth. Peter Daszak is what happens when you get a clever bureaucrat with unchecked, unelected, and seemingly unknown authority. Andrew, who is Peter Daszak?
Well, that is a multi-million-dollar question, as it turns out. And actually, interestingly enough, this is I'm reading from a New York Post article that was written in June, and it's interesting how all of this comes full circle now. He is the nonprofit exec with close ties to Dr. Anthony Fauci, who received grant money from Fauci. And I think that's actually one of the interesting points here, Charlie, that you often rail about is this fourth estate. The bureaucratic, unelected, nameless, faceless bureaucracy
branch of government
that has come to wield, has come to wield so much power. Basically, what this picture is emerging, and I think it's emerged a while ago, but it's worth repeating, is that Fauci sat on his little perch within the underneath the NIH and would dish out millions and millions and millions of dollars worth of grant money to people that came asking for it. One of these people is Peter Daszak. Now, Peter Daszak has this really telling clip from December of 2019. Now, this is clip six. It was taken 3 weeks. It was recorded 3 weeks before the World Health Organization basically officially announced that there was a problem in Wuhan. So let's go ahead and play that just to set this up. Play cut six.
But if you're saying these are diverse coronaviruses and you can't vaccinate against them, there are no antivirals, what do we do?
Well, so I think that coronaviruses are pretty good. I mean, you're a virologist, you know all this stuff, but you can manipulate them in the lab pretty easily. It's just spike protein drives a lot of what happens with the coronavirus, zoonotic risk. So you can get the sequence, you can build the protein, and we work with Ralph Barrick at UNC to do this. Insert it into a backbone of another virus,
right,
and do some work in the lab. So you can.
So he's right there talking about the spike protein that has become so famous. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I mean, you notice about manipulation. You see, it's science itself. Science, unrestrained by the question of what are we inquiring about? Are we trying to master the natural world? To what end? And it goes back to this idea of human nature. They're directly tied together. You see, in social contract theory, there's Hobbes' social contract theory. There is John Locke's social contract theory, which primarily the American founding was based on, a little bit of Hobbes, but mostly Locke. And then there's Jean-Jacques Rousseau, the French philosopher. And Rousseau believed human beings were malleable, so they can be changed, they can be manipulated. Hobbes and Locke did not believe this. They believed that we were naturally, as Hobbes would put it, nasty, brutish, and short to each other. So how does that tie together with science? If you believe that science can be an unending inquiry into the manipulation of human beings, then what wouldn't you try to do? You see, this gain-of-function research, it was inevitable that eventually that trying to challenge nature's natural design, or as the Declaration would call it, the laws of nature and nature's God, is eventually you're going to create something worse than anything you're ever trying to solve. And that's exactly what happened from the Chinese coronavirus. The Intercept has showed this. Daszak has showed this. Now, whether they released it intentionally or not, I don't know if we'll ever find that out, to be perfectly honest. And the United States government and the Biden regime, they're doing everything they possibly can to cover this up. They don't want to have this sort of story, which is what's so interesting about this Intercept story, which is typically to the left, because it's a little bit contrary to the predominant narrative, isn't it, Andrew?
Well, I mean, the predominant narrative was that, you know, you saw that, you know, there was earlier in the year, BuzzFeed got all of these emails from Dr. Fauci, and Dr. Fauci was paraded around the media basically going, you know, if anybody read all my emails, I wouldn't come out looking so clean. And wow, you're just really, you know, you're a really stand-up guy and all this stuff. Well, actually, the truth is that, you know, we found out that Peter Daszak and Dr. Fauci were corresponding in those emails at that point. And, you know, because you got to remember, so Peter Daszak was the only, he's got a British accent, but they call him an American. He was the only American representative of the World Health Organization that went over to China to try and figure out what the origin was of the COVID-19 virus. And he, along with all these other scientists, basically said this did not come out of the Wuhan lab. That is a conspiracy theory. And then he writes a personal note to Fauci saying, who went on record saying it's a conspiracy theory too. He went on the media, did a big tour and said, no, it didn't come from a lab. We now know it came from the lab. But he said, I just wanted to say a personal thank you on behalf of our staff and collaborators for publicly standing up and stating that the scientific evidence supports a natural origin for COVID-19 from a bat to human spillover, not a lab release from the Wuhan Institute of Virology, Daszak wrote. From my perspective, your comments are brave and coming from your trusted voice will help dispel the myths being spun around the virus's origin. Fauci responded the next day saying, many thanks for your kind note. So these two have been working together for a long time. And by the way, just so you're aware, EcoHealth Alliance, run by Peter Daszak, receives $15 million in federal agency grant money every year. This, according to Vanity Fair, $15 million of your taxpayer dollars are going to this Peter Daszak guy who's been trying to cover up the lab leak theory. And by the way, also, one thing to know is that even the State Department has issued a paper saying that the Wuhan Institute of Virology was doing secret work with the Chinese military. So this is where your money's going, folks.
Does not surprise me. And again, when I tease the Churchill thing, I really need to get to it because this is inevitable. That technological progress without wise and character-filled and well-ordered souled people, this is going to happen. And it's only going to get worse until we expose it. Last month, an absolute landslide of you made the switch to PureTalk. You were chained to overpriced unlimited plans from Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile, then finally decided to make the switch because you knew that PureTalk saves the average family over $800 a year without having to sacrifice coverage. So just do this. Make the switch to PureTalk. You can keep your phone, keep your number, or get huge discounts on the latest iPhones and Androids. And let me be clear, you are not sacrificing service with PureTalk. They are on the same network as one of the big guys. Plus, PureTalk invests a fortune into making sure you have the latest technology. They just pass all the savings on to you. Get unlimited talk, text, and 6 gigs of data for just $30 a month. Or if you still want unlimited data, you can get that and still save a fortune. Just dial #250 and say Charlie Kirk, and you'll save 50% off your first month. That's #250, say Charlie Kirk. PureTalk is simply smarter wireless. So Churchill wrote over 50 books. He was the greatest man to live in the 20th century. And Churchill saw war change in front of his very eyes. He was serving in a conflict, I think in the Boer War, or maybe it was in Afghanistan, and he wrote a best-selling book about it. And he saw the Arabs that they were fighting go over the hill, and they did not have the same machinery as the British Empire, and they were just mowed down. I think it was the Dervishes, if I'm not mistaken. Connor can get it for me. And Churchill wrote that he saw that technology and science was going to be one of the greatest questions of the new era. C.S. Lewis wrote about this in a book called The Abolition of Man. He said that if we have men without chests, that's actually how the book opens up, then what good is all of this technology going to get us? What is it going to give us that will, in essence, benefit us? And the answer is almost nothing. In fact, it will do a lot of harm and a lot of damage to us. And so Machiavelli wrote about this. He said, look, he accused Plato of wanting to create all of these imaginary republics. He didn't get into the science thing as much. But Machiavelli said, yeah, enough of this whole idea of the ideal city and the philosopher king and justice and the clouds and the forms and all that. Let's just shape things according to our will. Let's just do what we want to do. Why do we have to try to pursue this goal of justice? Instead, let's just do what we think is right. So we have more power than ever before, but what is anchoring us to use it properly? Well, I want to kind of continue on this science observation because what is an example of a scientific project that is immoral and controversial and is currently in the front page of all of your news now? Abortion. Abortion, the reason why the other side likes abortion so much and why they'll defend it is because they look at that as a scientific progression that makes your life more convenient. Put simply, abortion is an example of using power to eliminate human life to prioritize pleasure and convenience over virtue, justice, and life. And so Texas has now passed into law, actually it's now effectively into law, the pro-life bill that allows 6 weeks for an abortion, which I still think is too much, and then after that you're not able to have an abortion. This will save, what is it, Andrew, 85% of all abortions, 95% of all abortions? Is that right? 95?
Yeah, it was, I think they said 6 out of 7 abortions were
85%.
We're being eliminated.
So why is it that the left is all of a sudden making this the new news story? Why has this now been reframed? Well, it's the same reason why Peter Daszak and Fauci were in Wuhan playing games with gain of function, trying to change human DNA and trying to – it's because abortion is a project of domination. It's using what is discovered in the natural world through the cult of science, through managerialism – to try to say that, no, we're so advanced that you are allowed to do whatever you want to do whenever you want to do it. And if you have to destroy human life, then so be it. Who cares? We have to create new values, and the new values that we have to create are human life is insignificant. In fact, that's not a life. It's a clump of cells. We could dispose of it if you want. In fact, abortion was supposed to always be safe, legal, and rare. Now it's none of those things. And Texas has stood the ground and passed this pro-life bill, which, by the way, every single state listening to this right now that has a Republican legislature, from North Dakota to South Dakota to Iowa to Georgia, they should all introduce this bill right now. And what is the Biden regime threatening to do? They want to come in through the Department of Justice and they say, oh, we're going to challenge this law. No, it's already been challenged. The Supreme Court has upheld it. Well, at least they blocked the challenge against it. I never knew it would be so controversial to all of a sudden say that, you know what, we want more babies. We want people to be able to have the right to live and to exist, that life begins at conception. If it's not your DNA, it's not your choice. Somehow that has become such a radical statement that Democrats are saying, we're going to win the midterms because of it. Don't fall for those lies. In fact, it's the opposite. America's becoming more pro-life, not more pro-abortion. Listen up, everybody. We are just weeks away from yet another American travesty, one that could lead our country even further down the road to tyranny. I'm talking, of course, about court packing, the far left's radical plan to rig our entire federal judiciary system by adding 4 liberal justices to the Supreme Court and completely destroying the constitutional rule of law in our country as we know it. Thankfully, my friends at First Liberty Institute, a national nonprofit law firm, are taking a stand. They've written a letter telling the Biden Commission to reject this brazen court-packing scheme. And now prominent leaders, plus over 100,000 patriots like you, have joined their coalition. Franklin Graham, former Attorney General Ed Meese, Dr. Dobson, plus organizations like the American Policy Association, Concerned Women for America, are all on board. Now it's up to you. Sign your name right now next to these leaders by September 15th. Go to supremecoup.com. That's supremecoup.com right now. They're trying to pack the Supreme Court. My friend Kelly Shackelford runs this amazing organization. So do me a favor, check it out, sign it. It's free of charge, supremecoup.com. Here's this memo allegedly from St. Luke's Health in Houston. Is that what it is? Is it in Houston? In Texas? And it says this. It says, quote, ivermectin is an anti-parasitic agent that is FDA approved for 2 things I can't pronounce and is used off-label for the treatment of many parasitic infections. Although it has in vitro activity against some viruses, including SARS-CoV-2, it has no therapeutic utility. The Infectious Disease Society of America suggested against ivermectin for treatment of hospitalized patients or outpatients for COVID-19. The FDA has recommended against the use of the ivermectin for the treatment of COVID-19 as well. Well, NIH's own website says the opposite. So which one is it? Well, you see, in science, you're supposed to be talking to one another. You're supposed to have the scientific method. You're not just supposed to offer press releases and stunt all discussion. NIH, ivermectin, a multifaceted drug of Nobel Prize honor distinction with its indicated efficacy against new global scourge, COVID-19. A 5-day course of ivermectin for the treatment of COVID-19 may reduce duration of illness, NIH. How about this one?
Also this, Charlie, from the NIH, it says, from Peru, they mention that excess deaths fell by a mean of 74% over 30 days in its 10 states. This is from the NIH, 74% drop in mortality.
I could go right through the list, one after the other after the other. Now, remember, Fauci in 2012, cut 7, says that the NIH has been funding game of research for quite some time. Cut 7.
For decades, NIH has supported basic influenza research included on transmissibility, host adaptation, and virulence. Kawaoka and Fouché constructed variants of H5N1 avian influenza in order to identify which genetic mutations might alter the transmissibility of the virus. This slide shows the basic design of the experiments in which the virus was modified to allow for aerosol transmission from one ferret to another.
No one elected him. Fauci is a creation of an anti-constitutional, post-constitutional system. Fauci is a creation of a system that does not honor checks and balances in our independent judiciary or consent to the governed. The philosopher Plato wrote in the book The Republic that people are going to cry for a protector in the time of crisis. And the protector of the people, Plato writes, having a mob entirely at his disposal, he is not restrained from shedding the blood of his kinsmen by the favorite method of false accusation he brings into courts and murders them, making the life of man disappear. And if any of them are suspected by him of having notions of resistance to his authority, he'll have a good pretext for destroying them. Plato saw someone like Fauci coming a mile away. How then does a protector begin to change into a tyrant? He begins to grow unpopular. The protector is the overthrower of many. Standing up in a chariot of the state with the reins in hand, no longer protector but tyrant absolute. A tyranny is the wretchedest form of government. You see, Fauci started as the protector. Remember how high his approval ratings were? Now Fauci went from the protector to the tyrant. Aristotle famously said, who was a student of Plato, the tyrant will attract mobs and hire voices fair and loud and persuasive and draw the cities over to tyrannies. Moreover, they are paid for this and receive honor, the greatest honor as might be expected, poets and the eulogists of tyranny, praising tyranny as godlike. Now, as bad as it is in America, it's worse in another English-speaking country. Did you know that they have quarantine camps in Australia? You know, I was talking to somebody over the weekend. I actually wasn't talking. I was texting because I've been doing a lot of talking. This is actually the most talking I've done in a couple days, by the way, is that I asked them, I said, did you know what's going on in Australia? They said, well, what do you mean? Australia has become a COVID tyranny state. Australia has quarantine camps. They're taking children against their parents' will. And Dan Andrews, the Australian premier, says he wants to lock out unvaccinated citizens and only vaccinated people will be able to participate in the economy. Cut one.
To protect the health system, we've got everybody locked down. We're going to move to a situation where, to protect the health system, we're going to lock out people who are not vaccinated and can be. If you're making the choice not to get vaccinated, then you're making the wrong choice.
Making the wrong choice. That's how tyrants talk, not protectors. Australia has entered full martial law, and it just begs the question, is the vaccine working the way they said it was going to be? Is the vaccine lowering deaths? Is the vaccine lowering transmission rates? Cut four, fully vaccinated Oscar De La Hoya hospitalized with COVID and pulls out of his comeback fight. Cut four.
I mean, what are the chances of me getting COVID? I've been taking care of myself and this really, really kicked my ass.
It's hard to hear, but that's Oscar De La Hoya saying that. Andrew, what else about Australia do we need to know? The Australia example is, it's being covered up in most of the Western press, but Australia is not just on lockdown. They have entered gulag-style lockdowns, saying that the unvaccinated cannot participate in the economy. Andrew, what else is there that we're missing?
Well, Australia is the—and we had, by the way, everybody should check out the podcast with Miranda Devine from the New York Post. She's Australian, but now she writes for the New York Post, and she talked about it quite at some length. Australia is the premier example in the world, really, and New Zealand maybe second, of a medical police state where they have a zero tolerance policy for any spread of COVID. And basically everything is on the table. They will lock you down. They also have a system where they can at random ask you to take a picture of yourself where you are and report your location, and they will check on that using GPS technology to ensure that you guys, everybody's staying locked down. So Miranda Devine's take on it is that, you know, Australians are sort of putting up with this, but it was also a reminder to us to say Australia's a place that doesn't have a Bill of Rights. It doesn't have the history of the founders and this idea of freedom like America does. And so basically the police state can just run rampant over the rights of its citizenry. And we're seeing that in Australia in a really radical way. And, you know, one of the stories that hasn't been reported probably nearly enough is that all of the truck drivers in Australia have started pushing back at this and have led mass strikes, not moving materials from one place to another. The truck drivers are getting together. And then, you know, they're finally starting to have riots down there, which is, I think, really encouraging. We're seeing riots across the world, actually in Brazil, massive riots today against vaccine mandates and passports and that sort of thing. So maybe Australia's waking up. Who knows? This there was a good point made that the only reason we know about this is because there was a gentleman who has a large social media following who reported about this camp in Australia. It said this woman got accosted by the police for trying to take a sip of tea. So this large social media following is the only reason that we know this even happened. So it's pretty crazy what they're doing down there. We thought this was all science fiction. We thought this was just, you know, never going to happen in America. But we're seeing it, like you said, in another English-speaking country, which is really terrifying.
Australia has become a police state, and they don't understand natural rights. Their country is not founded on natural rights, and so they do not have the same protections that we have. So they can just shut down the economy for the unvaccinated. They could say, yeah, you don't have the rights to exist. Now, here's a really interesting fact I saw circulating this weekend. People say, Charlie, you should have to show identification of your passport, your vaccine passport, of which I do not have and I'm not going to have. Thank you. And the question is, why don't sex offenders have to show identification of themselves? There's 800,000 people in the sex offender registry, yet they win every single lawsuit because they're told that it's a violation to their privacy. Yet it's not a violation to the privacy to ask people about their most intimate medical details. Hey, what medicine are you taking? Why are you taking that medicine? What if ivermectin could deal a death blow to this virus? What if ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, zinc, azithromycin, Z-Pak, vitamin D? What if all of a sudden that would disempower Fauci, Pfizer, AstraZeneca, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson? What if all of a sudden you can get your life back? Well, they deployed Joy Reid, cut 10. She gave over 6 minutes on Friday to the fake disinformation story. She'll still have a TV show after this, obviously. Cut 10.
So things are clearly bad, but they're being made even worse by people who have refused to take the vaccine and instead are swallowing horse paste. The emergency room in one rural Oklahoma town is being overwhelmed by people overdosing on ivermectin, the horse deworming medication. It's gotten so bad that gunshot victims, are having to wait to be treated.
Yeah, gunshot victims in southeast Oklahoma. Again, as soon as I heard that story, I said, where does she think southeast Oklahoma is? Like Compton? They probably have like 3 gunshot victims a year. And Andrew, you were just there. Weren't you in Broken Bow or something?
I was in Broken Bow, Oklahoma for July 4th. I mean, this is rural America.
I don't
America.
Think there's a lot of drive-by shootings in Broken Bow, Oklahoma.
There's not a lot of anything in southeast Oklahoma. I mean,
there's
it's
a lot of conservatives.
Yes, a lot of conservatives and a lot of casinos, Indian casinos. But nevertheless, I mean, there's not like a whole lot. I didn't see anybody go to the hospital when I was there just for the – I mean, it's anecdotal, but nevertheless,
that's
rural.
The point is that it's a total lie. And like maybe – I want you just to think with all of this. Maybe with ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, no mass vaccines, no lockdowns. No vaccine passports, no medical apartheid. You could have your life back, no medical tyranny, no children with masks, no social distancing. What if that exists? That's the question. What's going on in Afghanistan?
Well, they are forming a government, Charlie, with a bunch of terrorists.
Is that what they're doing?
I mean, I think that's the that's what they're doing. Yep. We got a clip on it, clip 11, if you want to throw to it. It gives a nice summary. But it... Basically,
so these are their equivalent of Hamilton, Madison, Jay, Adams, Washington, Jefferson. Instead, they got Muhammad and Muhammad or whatever.
Yep. That have all been on the terror watch list. This is who Joe Biden
handed
the reins
over. Khalik Sheikh Mohammed instead
to.
Of Hamilton. Yeah, this is going to work great. Play tape.
For a lot of weeks now, we were expecting Mullah Abdul Ghani Baradar, the one who signed the deal with the Americans, to be named as head of the cabinet. Not many people had even held him as a contender, but he was one of the closest associates of Mullah Omar, the founder, the co-founder of the movement.
Yeah, I can't understand any of those names. It's like Jim Carrey is running the Taliban government. So wait, what's the significance of this, Andrew? We got like an all-star team, right, of terrorists that are now running the Taliban. Is that right?
That's basically the sum of it. Yeah, we've handed over the entire country to a bunch of people we used to call terrorists, and now we have Jen Psaki saying that they have important decisions to make
partners.
About how they want to be.
But aren't
viewed
still
on the
Americans stranded
stage.
In Afghanistan? That's the point, right? Over 100
yes,
Americans
are
still stranded in Kabul. Is that right?
I'm not sure on the exact number. I will tell you that there was an interesting story that is making a lot of headlines this morning about the State Department trying to take credit for four Americans that were rescued out of Kabul. But basically, the State Department saying, we helped this, and it was a private group that raised private money to get these people out. And they're saying, no, State Department, you're a bunch of liars. You had nothing to do with this. So, again, this is all propaganda. They're trying to spin it as if they are not leaving any American behind. The truth is they've left at least 100, if not more, in Kabul.
Over 100, if not more. So they're forming a new government, and it's like a terrorist all-star team. Now, I saw some news about Khalik Sheikh Mohammed. Is that right?
Yes, you're absolutely right. They're still – no, they are, but they're trying to actually have the trial – for Khalik Sheikh Mohammed, 20 years after the fact. There's a pre-trial hearing this week, and it was originally scheduled for early 2020, but because of COVID, it got delayed, and you know, because the federal government, everybody has to wear like 18 masks and be 48 feet apart. There's all these issues trying to actually get these court cases off the ground.
The Taliban has invited six countries to take part in the announcement: Turkey, China, Russia, Iran, Pakistan, and Qatar. And this is exactly what we've been saying. Our sources were correct, and the Biden regime brokered this completely. I want to say Happy New Year to all of our Jewish listeners, Lashana Tova, which means happy to the head of the year. One of my favorite celebrations, not for myself to participate, but I think that it's important to remember all that has happened and all that will come. And Yom Kippur, I think, is coming up soon as well. It feels like the high holidays are earlier this year. Is that right, Connor? It feels like usually it's October. Anyway, Lashana Tova to all of our Jewish listeners. God bless all of you. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to support our program, it's charliekirk.com/support. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.